become very aware that we all slept 1 hour less last night. So I hope we can, I'm not going to be affected by that as we hear God's word this morning. We can tell a lot about a person when we see somebody, and then the way somebody speaks, behaves, dresses, and stuff like that. We look at a person, we can assume, like, oh, we know something about this person, you know, what he's doing or whatever, stuff like that. But I like to watch documentary, like investigations and stuff like that. So I watched how the FBI investigates when those like bank robberies happen. And I remember one time they were looking for a suspect who was very good at what he was doing. And they were looking for a long time because he would repeat those robberies and he would just hide. And I mean, they had no idea, no leads to see who is doing that. Until one day, a boy, he was playing outside and he saw like a white PVC pipe or something like that in a park or somewhere next to an apartment building. And it seemed to be odd, like out of place. So the boy stumbled in there and I think he called his parents or whatever. The police ended up there, and that was the spot where this suspect was hiding his maps and notes and stuff like that. He knew like which bank to go and the plan to attack. But anyway, he did not sign it with his name, and you know, it's not like that. They're very smart, that's why it's hard to catch them. But the FBI and the police were able to create a profile for him and to understand who this person might be, the age and the profession and all that based on the writing, the notes that he wrote. They realized this must be a teacher or somebody who's very good with numbers. Yeah. The writing was neat and the way he expressed himself and stuff like that. So they were able to set a profile. They were looking for somebody who is either a professor, a teacher, or working like with statistics and numbers, and they were able to catch him. And all started, this was a very, like, they like that helped them to do that. So the fact that they found the notes, had handwritten notes there. And I am thinking about when we read God's word, we know God spoke, and he speaks through the Bible, even today, to our needs, and he's revealing himself to us. But do you know that God actually has wrote a couple times in the Bible himself? And that's what I want to share with you about God's handwriting. When God literally wrote something. I'm going to speak about four of these cases, not all of them today. Probably today we're going to share just the first one. But I see God in the Bible writing on stone. That's what we're going to talk about today. Then we read about God who writes on the heart. Hebrews talks about that in Hebrews 8. It says God writing his laws in our heart. Then in Daniel chapter 5, we see God intervene in the Belshazzar's party. And he saw a hand, some fingers writing on the wall. And there was God who intervened and in a miraculous way wrote that message there. And also we see in John chapter 8 when Jesus wrote on the ground something. We're going to talk about that maybe another time. But today, I want to talk about God's writing on the stone. First of all, I want to say God is not like a suspect somewhere. We need to discover him. He is near to us. He wants to reveal himself to us. In Psalm 145, verse 18, it says, Psalm 145, verse 18, the Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. God is near to us. You don't have to like find something about him and just, you know, struggle in like finding him. We just have to find him in truth. Like, in other words, read the Bible, open the Bible, say, Lord, speak to me, reveal yourself to me. And God is eager to do that with each one of us. But when we see God writing on the stone, this is in Exodus chapter 31, verse 18. Exodus chapter 31, verse 18. When the Lord finished speaking to Moses on Mount Sinai, He gave him the two tablets of the covenant law, the tablets of stone inscribed by the finger of God. Amen. So this is the first of these situations where I want to share about God himself writing on the stone. So Moses was on the mountain Sinai. These people came from Egypt, the Israelites. They had been slaves for hundreds of years there. So they come out of there, and they need a lot of guidance in so many ways and so many areas. And God chooses Moses, and he asked him to come on the mountain together with the elders, but Moses came alone in God's presence, and the 40 days and 40 nights, he was there speaking with God, and God talking to him and explaining and sharing all this with Moses. And then God chose to write all these laws and this covenant he was making with his people, not on a piece of paper, not on something that people can, you know, just ignore. God wrote on stone. And Moses had those tablets, and he came down and he shared with people. So this is what I learned from this method that God chose to speak his word to people. He chose this method to share or to say that his word is not changeable. It's not something that people can easily take it and misinterpret it or change it or do stuff like that. It's unchangeable. It's God's word. And God had to do this two times because people, when Moses came down, he saw all that idolatry and that worship that they did to that calf. And Moses just broke those law, tablets, and he had to go back. And God, second time, wrote that. We read that in Exodus chapter 34. I remember during the Second World War, when it was about to come to end, Churchill, the Prime Minister of Great Britain, he went to talk with Stalin about the influence they're going to have in Europe. Is it going to be the Western influence in those countries, or is it going to be the Soviet Union, which was the two contrary ideas? They had the communism. This was a different ideology for the countries, including Romania was on the list. And Churchill was there during that meeting. There's a lot of talking and negotiations. And they're like, I don't know, maybe four, five, six countries they listed there. And one of them was Romania. Like, you know, they have to decide who's going to have influence in these countries. And Churchill just, you know what, when he had to write down those notes, who's going to have how much influence in those countries, you know what he picked? A napkin. And there's a picture of that. Like, you know, he just took a napkin and just wrote, okay, Romania, okay, USSR is going to have 9% influence, and America is going to have, or the Western is going to have 10% influence. And that's how Romania got into communism. Mm. So all of this was on a piece of napkin. Let's do it. Handwriting by Churchill. And I was thinking about God when he chose to speak to us. He did not choose a napkin. He did not. These were people that came from slavery. They were brutal. They were not educated like we are because they were slaves. They were kids, generation after generation, born there. All they did all day was working and being harassed and persecuted. They had to work hard in Egypt. So when they came to that mountain, when God's glory revealed on that mountain, there was thunder, there was lightning, they were terrified about that. And they said to Moses, please go and talk to God, and then let us know what God wants to say. And when Moses came down, he did not come down with a piece of napkin and said, oh, we have to obey God, and this is what God wants to do with us. Nothing wrong in writing something on the paper. But if you want to write something that does not change, God chose to do that in stone. And his word, Bible says, Psalm 18, chapter 18, verse 30. And we heard about this, Brother Zach was sharing last Sunday, about God, that David described that the Lord is my rock. We remember that from last Sunday. And then also in Malachi chapter 3, verse 6 says, I, the Lord, do not change. God is not changing. And then in Psalm 18, verse 30, as for God, he His way is perfect. The Lord's word is flawless. He shields all who take refuge in Him.
Amen.
God's word is flawless. It's not something that I can go and add something. Lord, you missed to say this or that, or let me change this or that. He chose to write on stone because He knows what He is doing. And we have to listen and obey Him. Jesus said about this, I am the way and the truth and the life. John 14:6. No one comes to the Father except through me. He did not say, well, I know something about God. When we write a message on our email, oh my goodness, how many times I have to save a draft and then delete this and add that and change this and delete completely everything and start all over again. When God spoke to His people, He did not need a draft. He did not say, well, I'm not sure about this, or God spoke because He is the truth.
Amen.
And He, when He speaks something to us, we have to accept that and say, Lord, I might not understand it. I might have no idea what You're doing, but I trust You, Lord, and I believe You. It's not easy to do that, but God chose to write in stone because He knows the truth, and He's not like, oh, okay, I made a mistake. Let me just clarify that. I also remember back in the days when we used to read newspapers, probably today the younger generation don't know that the printers as we have them today with ink, they were not like that when they used to print like all these newspapers. I have not been in one of these typography, I don't know how we call it, that place where. But I heard a Romanian journalist, a famous Romanian journalist, and he had the job of verifying everything before he goes to the press. Like, everything was pressed, and they literally have to put like every letter and everything has to be like impressed on the newspaper. There's no delete and like we used to do in the computers, and there's, oh, I made a mistake, let me just reprint this page. No. He had to be careful because after that, there's no way you can change. It goes there and just, hundreds and thousands of those newspapers go out. And if you make a mistake, that's it. So I'm thinking about that and I say, Lord, when I look at my notes, I have notes from years ago. And when I read them, I'm kind of embarrassed. Not that, I think it's a good thing to look at them and say, well, I think I could do better. I think it's a good thing. That it's a sign of maturity. Paul says, when I was a kid, I thought like a kid, I speak like a child, now I'm mature. So I hope 10 years from today, if I'm going to be around, I'm going to look back and I say, Lord, I think I could do better. I could have said better. I could have, that's a sign of growing up and maturity. Well, God is not like that. He did not say, well, that's the first version. Then I'll see how I think after 10 years. His ways are forever. The Bible says that heaven and earth will just pass away, but my words will never pass away. He doesn't need time to mature. We need to catch up with that. We have to renew our mind, our thinking. We just recently heard our president talking about the president of Ukraine and said, well, he's a dictator. And everybody was like, well, are you sure about that? We're not here to argue if Zelensky is a saint or not, but just to go that far, say he's a dictator, don't think about that. And somebody asked him a couple days after that, Mr. President, you called him, President Zelensky, a dictator, are you sure about that? So, well, did I say that? I can't believe I said that. this is a news. Mr. President is so he posted on his social media, and then, he emphasized that, and, well, I can't believe I said that. God is not like that. God is not like that. Oops, I changed my mind. Well, I didn't mean that. I didn't say that. Every time we come before Him, we have to admit, Lord, You know what You say. Do you know how hard is it for me to believe? Just three-letter word in the Bible that God chose to put in Romans 8:28. All things.
Amen.
Or everything. We know that all things work together. for those who love God. And I wonder, Lord, are you sure? Like, all things, maybe most of the things, maybe God says all things. And I'm sure many times we have questions. We do have questions as parents, as individually. We have questions, but God knows what He's doing. He wants to transform us into His image. And He chose to write that in stone. Not this particular verse, but His ways, His character, His principle, His I do not change. I know what I'm doing. Just trust me and love me. Thank God for His faithfulness and for the way that He chose to speak to us. Another verse in the Bible that I looked into, and that's Acts chapter 17, verse 30. It talks about God, that He overlooks the time of ignorance. And I think the temptation is that when we look in the Bible, sometimes we make it sound like we want to sound, not like what God intended to be. So it says here, but now, not whenever you think appropriate, whenever you think like it's, you know, the right time, God says, now. He commands, not suggesting, like, not, well, that's something maybe you should have to consider. God commands all, not just, you know, some people, those who are very bad in society, maybe those who have been in prison or something. God says, all people, everywhere, everywhere, including here, Bolivar, whatever you are, to repent.
Amen.
Repent. Not just do your best, improve. God says, repent. When I look at this, this is written in stone for me. God chose to put this in. It's firmly said. I mean, I would, it takes some courage to say, well, everybody here doesn't know the Lord. Well, if I say that, I'll just sound so crazy. How do you know that? It's foolish to say that. But God chose, like, to say everything works for the good in your life. All people must repent, and He's the right to do that. We know in part. We don't know a lot of things, but God knows, and He chose to do that. And I see today the temptation is that we take God's word just as a suggestion, not a command that He gave us to us. Like, well, yeah, let's do our best. And we don't see that. We don't feel that, but God is doing. Just about 4 years ago, I think, when President Trump was having his address, the State of the Union address, when he was talking to, you know, about the problems in our country. And the Speaker of the House, a lady, we probably know who that was, and she was behind him there, and she had a copy of his speech, and just to defy him, like, you know, to show it, he just ripped it, you know, like, apart, showing disrespect. I don't say have to agree. I'm not here to say Trump is a good president or whatever, like, you know, to support him. My point is this. Why you want to show so much disrespect for somebody who has a position in this country, and then you just show, I don't agree with you, and then just rip it apart here. Let everybody see that. And I see that many times that people are tempted to do that. Maybe not completely, like, you know, oh, I'm going to just ignore the whole word of God, and I'm not going to obey that. But maybe here and there, we would wish this verse were not included in the Bible. Man, if this was not here, that would be so much better, so much easier for me. But God knows what He's doing. And I see myself that today, there's a danger. Even though God chose to write in stone, do you think we can still alter that message? We can change it? And you know, there's a potential to change even something written in stone. You know, one of the best ways to cut through materials, we would think maybe it's like, you know, a sharp something edge, like, I don't know, something that's saw or something. You know what people use to cut through diamonds and steel and stone and granite and all that stuff? I used to work in a warehouse that was selling granite in Oregon. I used to live there. You know, when you see that sharp cut in granite, you know what they used to cut that?
Water.
Water. Huh. Pressure water. High pressure water. And it just goes through anything. I was washing the gutters on our house, and I was not careful. It was not that, you know, it was like 3,000 whatever PSI, you know, for water pressure. But I was not careful, and somehow that, you know, just got on my hand right here. And I just have a little, you know, mark right here. It was not something serious. But, you know, water would just go through anything. So I am looking at this, and I say, Lord, like when Moses came down and he saw Aaron, his brother, and all these people worshiping this idol they made, I said, this is the God that saved us. That's very high pressure, something that you look at and you just cannot believe. It's so radical. And you know, like, man, I cannot believe this is wrong. It's not supposed to happen. And I think, like, sometimes it's going to be hard for us to have something so obvious that's wrong. And we're going to say, wait, we'll never say that. Like, we'll never say that, for example, Allah is the true God. We say, but we're not going to do that. But there is another way to shape a rock. Not with high pressure. Drips of water. We used to have around the house in Europe is usual, like it's custom to have around the house like a concrete like path or whatever, like around the foundation of the house we walk around. And sometimes if you don't have a good gutter system, the water can drip there, no pressure. And he's just gonna dig a hole in there. Yeah. We just been with Emma in the park and just watched so many rocks, and they're just eroded because water constantly was dripping there. Slowly but surely. And after time, he can just go through that rock, through that whatever, stone, and the water, what's that pressure? Just repeatedly, you went there and he just changed that. So Satan is not using always methods that are so radical, like to scare me. Here's, you know, I'm the Antichrist, believe in me. He's going to come with very little things like Eve. Did God really say that? Did God really say that? And drip by drip, every day, if we let those thoughts come into our mind and we let that sink in, one day we can see that rock, that foundation, that's completely gone, where it's changed, where there's a deep hole in there. We have to be careful with that, brothers and sisters. I have to be careful with me to keep my conscience clear. I heard about, you might not believe that, but there are churches that have a big debate about where the pulpit should be, in the middle or in the, you know, one side or the other side. I mean, I have been in such churches. And one pastor had this big problem because I'm not sure if it was the pulpit there or whatever. He wanted to move in the middle or something. And church did not agree. That's how he got it. That's what it's supposed to be. You know what he did? Very smart pastor. He said, okay. But every day he would move the pulpit just an inch. Just an inch. And people realized after a couple of months, man, when did we just agree to have the pulpit in the middle? And people are like, what did just happen? That's how Satan uses tactics. For example, I'll just give you one example in my life. I take it seriously. When God says, when you get angry, you don't love your wife. Well, but she did this, but. No, no buts. Lord, you said in 1 Corinthians, love does not get angry. It's not manifesting like that. And I say, Lord, I don't want this drip to be in my life. Or other situations where we let the thinking of the world shaping us. Shaping us. I just heard this morning coming to church, Paul Washer talking to missionaries. And he said, like, how do you think a rose somewhere in a forest, nobody sees that flower. How do you think that rose brings honor to God? Nobody sees it. Nobody's just going to admire that. Maybe nobody will see that flower. And he said, it's for God, because God sees it. God is watching that flower. It does what it was supposed to do. And he was saying about missionaries and preachers that maybe they're not famous and known. They're somewhere doing God's work. And in today's society, do you feel the pressure? Unless you are seen, you're not relevant? One of the questions people ask you, where we feel the pressure, as a, I don't know about Brother Zach, but there is this pressure, like when people ask, okay, what church do you go to? Well, we go to this church here in Bolivar. Do you know one of the first questions people ask if they don't know you? How many are you? Yes. How many are you? Not how holy are you? How are you guys? You know, do you love each other? Do you, you know, how many are you? I was in a church. I'm not going to say which church, but we just moved recently to one of the states we moved in. And we just attend the church. We show up with the family. And the pastor, he happened to know a little bit about us. And he kind of excused himself, says, today we're not so many in church. We're usually more than this. But kind of saying, like, you know, it's more than that. I'll tell you honestly, I care. I want this to be more in church. Not to impress people. I don't want to have that pressure like the world does. You know, we have to be more. We have to be like, oh, this stuff. I want all of us, like God says, to repent and come to know God. But for me, it's so important to know that all of us, as we are here, we go towards the same goal, to be more like Jesus, to be transformed to his image, to become more like him. That's what I want from us, from me. That's what I pray, and I hope this will be true about us. And we're not going to let this drift just come. And you know, the Pharisees, they started as a very good, radical people for God. They wanted not to offer God something that was like, you know, a sacrifice that was, you know, a sick sheep or something. They wanted to love God wholeheartedly. And by the time Jesus came, a couple hundred years later, they were the biggest hypocrites. And Jesus says, you have changed the word of God in favor of your traditions. Paul talks to Galatians and he says, I'm shocked how quick you guys go from this gospel to a different gospel. Because that's a danger for us. So we're exposed to, and we have to be careful about that. And I pray the Lord will help us. One of the things also hard for me to accept from the Bible is in 2 Timothy chapter 3, Paul talks about the last days, and he says people are going to be lovers of themselves, and you know, they're going to love pleasures, and they do all those things. And the hard thing for me is in verse 5, where he says, these people, they're going to have a form of godliness, but deny its power, have nothing to do with such people. And this is an apostle writing to an elder, and he says, Timothy, be careful. And I want to be honest with you. Some of the things that's written there that are true about myself. Paul was not writing like, oh, go with the list and just, oh, does Brother Zach match this? Okay, let me just stay away from him. That's not what he's meant. Paul is writing about people who can persist in this. This is what they believe. This is what they promote. This is what they want you to be like. And these are the people that are going to live in these sins. And Paul says, Timothy, don't waste your time. Don't waste your time. That's what he says here. Have nothing to do with such people. They're going to love themselves more than God. So it's hard for us not to judge people in that way, like to go and say, well, you are like this, I'm going to stay away from you. I think it's like more like a natural reaction. And I think we had a situation even here in our church where a brother, a person from Uganda, he was pretending to be a brother. He takes care of orphanages and stuff like that there in Uganda. And I noticed that on his profile picture on Telegram, he had a picture of, you know, some orphan people. And, well, from the beginning, Brother Zach was saying, like, I'm not sure if this man is genuine or not. We have to be careful. But if he's genuine, we pray that if he starts a church, if he wanted to be a church like our name, like, you know, and stuff like that. And for me, it was like, it seemed like he wants to get under our skin and just, you know, be pleasing to us and kind of open the heart for that. And it seems a little bit suspicious for me from the beginning. But I was not like Paul said, okay, well, just stay away from this man. No. I gave the benefit of doubt to this man. But I saw on his profile picture some orphan kids there. And with today's technology, you can search on Google, not just words, you can search images. So I just searched for this image. So here comes a different orphanage, a different organization in Uganda, about 100 miles or something away from his location. And they have more pictures, including those kids, and they're like, you know, there's a girl in purple and one in red and one in blue, and, you know, the specific kids. And I asked this brother, I said, brother, is that picture in your profile your picture, like from the kids you take care of? Yes, brother, that's from our orphanage. And, well, I tried to talk to him and give him opportunity. Like, maybe sometimes I just put pictures on my profile because that's what I do, that I did not take that picture. And I appreciate a lot of times when we give credit each other for, oh, this is not me, this is what this brother did or that brother did. So I thought maybe he generally takes care of that and just put that picture. Well, and I asked him, but, you know, how many kids and stuff like that. And then I told him openly, I said, brother, these pictures are not from where you pretend to be. They belong to this other organization, which is very big. I said, like, they seem to be genuine. And, you know, it's kind of hard to fake when you pull so many pictures and, like, from that specific location where they were. And I told him about that. And he tried to make me feel guilty about that. Well, brother, you just, you know, you make me look bad in front of Brother Zach's eyes and, you know, this and that. And I asked him, do you have anything to do with this, like, organization that you pretend like to? Oh, yeah, I know this brother. I think it's Alan or something his name was. So, and I texted this organization and I asked them, do you know a name, like Isaac, whatever was his name? Do you know a person like that? Does he have anything to do with the organization? They say, we do not know such a person. So when I told him that, then for me it was have nothing to do with him. Not because I don't love him, but because I don't see this man ready to repent, to seek the Lord, just wants to have. And he says, do you know any churches that they mainly help orphan people? Because they know we are sensitive to orphan people. And this water just goes and, you know, start to shape and emotions, you know, take control. And we feel guilty because I don't do this or don't. It might seem, not right, but I had to repent because a few years ago, I neglected my family's needs, and I take money and I send them as donation to missionaries in Africa or other places. Not that it's wrong to do that, but God said, first, take care of your family.
Amen.
Pay for the dental for your wife. Do the education the kids need. Do that first, your needs. And then, if God calls you to do that, do that. Or if God calls you, puts in your heart to do something, and if you know you have to do that, do it by all means. Be obedient to God. All I'm saying is just we have to be careful because this is not, we have to obey God's word. It's not just our ideas. I'm going to come to close. In Isaiah chapter 66, verse 2, there's a great promise that God has here. I wonder if any of us want God to look at us with favor. I think all of us want that. Well, this is what here Bible says. These are the ones I look on with favor. Those who are humble and contrite in spirit and who tremble at my word. God looks at us and says, these are the people I want to look at. These are the people I want to bless if you're humble and if you respect God's word. If I would just go to Trump, Mr. President Trump, and I say, Mr. President, can I see your speech for tonight? I say, sure, here it is. And I say, well, how about I just delete that and remove that and do the other things? Well, it sounds very funny and ridiculous. But how dare people, instead of trembling, respecting God's word, they go say, well, that's not relevant anymore. That's whatever. It's not for us.
Yep.
We have to be careful. I want to encourage all of us today to remember when God wrote on stone, he did that because his word is unchangeable. He is the truth. And I remember I was blessed by the thought Brandon Zach shared last Sunday. He said, whenever in crisis, start from the point that God is right. And something that you don't understand, you don't know, is you are in that position that you don't know. We are here because we love God. We cannot explain everything. I cannot explain everything. We are like Job many times. We go through suffering. You know, Job wanted his words to be engraved on stone. Later he says, I repent. I spoke of things I did not know. That's what he says later in Job 42. Surely I spoke of things I did not understand, things too wonderful for me to know. My ears had heard of you, but now my eyes have seen you. Therefore I despise myself and I repent in dust and ashes. But before that, Job 19, verses 23, Job wanted, he says, oh, that my words were recorded, not just recorded, they were written on a scroll, that they were inscribed with an iron tool on lead, were engraved in rock forever. And then he doesn't go and says, well, I was always right, my friends were wrong. This is what Job wanted, to be engraved in rock. I know that my Redeemer lives.
Amen.
And that in the end, he will stand on the earth. And after my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh, I will see God. I myself will see him with my own eyes. I and not other. That's what he wanted, to be engraved in stone. What Satan is trying to do is taking the things that God wiped out, our sin, our condemnation. And God says, Hebrew 8, we're going to learn about that later, when he says, I will not remember your sin no more. I washed you with my blood, precious blood. You are clean. You're my child. I see you righteous like you've never sinned before. And Satan comes and says, well, are you sure about that? And condemnation and guilt and unbelief and all these things come into our mind. And Satan tries to write whatever he wants there. I hope today we say like Job, I want this to be engraved in stone. I'm not going to change my mind about it. If you want to write something in stone, you better think about that. Today's technology, well, we type a lot of misspelled words. Because, well, it's going to take care of that. It's going to show you, well, correct. When I used to write, my notes, I did them on paper. You better think before you do that. And Job says, I'm sure about this. God lives. My Redeemer lives.
Amen.
Whenever we tempt it like that, just go before Mount Sinai. Say, Lord, this is you wanted to write here. Lord, you do not change, Lord. I take that seriously, Lord. I don't want the drips of water, those things that don't look so important. Like dressing modestly. Oh, that is that important? Is that a command? Come on, man. Saving soul is more important than that. If we are disciples, we tremble at God's word and say, Lord, I want to do that. There are a lot of things in my life I want to correct. And I thank God that I have around me people that I believe seek the same goal. And we all go together and say, let's not change God's word to fit my lifestyle. Let's change me so I fit God's heart. That's what I want to be engraved in stone. Not on a piece of paper, and I forget. I want them to be in my heart. We're going to talk about that next time, if God wills. But I pray for today, we respect God's word. It's not me coming from Moldova or Romania or whatever, say, oh, I got this idea or that idea. What does God say about it? And this is not something I need to approve of everybody. God did not give me or any of man, everything, there's only one person who is the truth, Jesus Christ. We just follow. And if you see in me something that discourages you, or even worse, if you see me in my life being a block for you to be better with Christ, I beg you, please come and let me know. But if we are here and all of us have those things we need to change, let's just come together and just seek and be more like Jesus. And seek him. And these main ideas, we want to serve God. And when God chose to speak that, his truth, he chose to tell us in an unchangeable way. We have written them on stone. May God help us.